Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
But first, how much are you paying in school voluntary contributions? Because the Catholic Primary School Management Association has warned of dramatic rising costs. Parents now likely to pay more in so-called voluntary school contributions in the September term. Take a listen to Seamus Mulcroney. He's the General Secretary of the Catholic Primary School Association. He was talking to Jonathan about this earlier today.
What has happened over the last 3 to 4 years is there has been a massive increase in school costs. I mean, if you look at something like heating oil, it's up in some cases by 80%. Other utilities are up by 49%. Insurance is up by a third. Cleaning costs are up by 60%. Management information systems, which all schools use, like Aladdin, they're also substantially a substantial cost. So all of the basic costs for running a school have soared. The capitation has not soared to match the increases. If you look at the overall capitation expense for schools, it's about 120 million a year, roughly, for primary schools. Now, the amount spent on school meals is about 300 million, or will be this year when all schools are signed up. Basically, you will be getting in September 224 euro per pupil to run the school and to pay for that list of things that I gave you earlier on, but you'd be getting about 536 to feed the pupil. So we're taking good care of the pupils in that aspect, but we're not taking care of the running costs at the school. And if the school can't get it from the state, it's going to have to look for it elsewhere.
Okay, that's Seamus Mulcroney, General Secretary of the Catholic Primary School Association. Sarah's with me on the line today. Sarah, how much are you asked to pay in voluntary contributions to the school?
Well, in 1 year alone, like, it depends on how many kids you have in the school. But you usually pay, like, so it's like it's graded as they move up through the school. So, like, as your child moves into TY, you could be paying up to £6,000, or like you could be paying like 250 up to 300, you know, in first year, moving up to like 500, 600 in sixth year. And this is all voluntary contribution. And oftentimes,
sorry, Sarah, like, just can I just cut across you for a moment? Is it always the case that it's graduated like that?
Well, in our case, it is. Like, you know, I don't know how it is for other people,
yeah,
but in my particular school. Well, you see, if you look at, like, you know, types of, like, superfluous spending, like, as they go up, as they grow up, their projects kind of increase in difficulty. The field trips are different, you know, more field trips are required for when they go into the Leaving Cert cycle. So, like, if they're doing projects, like, for geography, for example, like, you know, field studies or anything like that, as, like, you know, the level of difficulty increases, the price increases, like, you know, it's just the way of life.
Yeah. And do you mind me asking, how many children have you in secondary school?
I have three children. I have three children and I am a single mother with a single income. So, like, and also, like, in addition to that, like, there is also kind of a hidden kind of, there's hidden stuff that takes away money from us. So, for example, if you were getting a single parent supplementation transitional income from the social welfare, if your youngest child is over 14, you are no longer eligible for that payment. So there's a lot of kind of issues around getting access to money, you know, or extra money or supplementation. So a lot of the time you're left not being able to meet that, and the disposable income just isn't there.
Like, in your case, even at the lowest end, even at the 300 mm-hmm. quid that you mentioned, right? If your mm-hmm. three are all in the early stages of secondary school, that's the guts mm-hmm. of a grant in so-called voluntary contributions there.
It's huge. And oftentimes, like, you know, you can't meet it when it's required. So you'll get emails, you'll get text messages, you'll get, like, you know, kind of a prompt to go visit the app or whatever. You'll pay it when you can. In some cases, like, you know, if you, like, so, for example, if you're separated, like I am, so in some cases, like, your ex or whatever will pay, you know, your half at that time and take it out of maintenance, and you have to, like, you know, go and pay that off in time to them. Like, so it can get very messy as well. Like, you know, it's not just like plain sailing. There are grey areas as well, like, you know, when you're in a single parent household.
And the idea of the prompts, you know, the not so subtle reminders, Sarah, encouraging you to revisit the app that the payment's due. I mean, it's I'm sure that's very infuriating.
Well, it's not infuriating, but you know what it is? It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like humiliating in a way, because you feel like, oh God, I can't match that or I can't meet that. And the school knows that. And then that makes you socially kind of like, I was even talking to my cousin the other day, and she was talking about dental care, and she was saying down in Cork, you know, you can get like cheaper dental care if you go to the University College Cork, where they're learning, you know, and teaching dentistry. So it's kind of like that. And I went, oh yeah, I'm in that bracket. I could do that. You know, it's just kind of like, even though you work a good job, even though, like, you know, you're contributing to taxes, even though you're, like, you know, doing your best and your absolute, you're still kind of feeling that level of, like, social kind of, you know, like, that you're on that lower income bracket, and that's obvious to you. So it's kind of a little bit, you feel a little bit like, I suppose you could say, a bit of shame around it is the word.
No, and that's the last thing that any parent should. It's last thing anyone should be feeling, Sarah, is, you know, any level of shame around this. But I can understand, and I know from talking to parents before, how difficult it is, particularly where there's a couple of kids in the house, and then, you know, these constant gentle, not so gentle reminders to pay that voluntary fee. Jill is with us as well. Jill, do you mind me asking how much is your voluntary contribution?
Well, I was actually looking, there's two separate fees, so it's a public school. So the administration photocopying is coming at 295, and I just quickly looked again to clarify everything before you called. So it's 250 is the voluntary fee on top of the 300, on top of the uniforms, which are also over 300.
So it's a €250 voluntary fee on top of 295 for photocopying.
Yes, mandatory photocopying and stationery is 295, and then voluntary is 250. And then the uniforms they're non-generic. They're all crested uniforms, and you have to buy them off their only supplier. So that came over €300 when they included the coat and the shoes and the PE gear, the two lots of PE gear, all that crack for one child.
€300 per child.
€1,000 basically, just for the basics, yeah, without their devices or anything like that.
And then if you have two and three in the school.
They have to have an iPad. They all do need their devices as well. Even though there's no books, they have to have a device to do their homework. Because there's projects. Like even in primary school, they've had to have devices to do their school projects. They have to log into Google Classroom and do them in a particular format and all that. So you have to have a device on top of that.
And do you guys have to buy that, or is that?
No, I've bought three iPads for my children. And yes, we are a single income household. Like, I have a child with special needs, so I cannot work as a nurse anymore. So it's not like I'm just doing it for the crack or spoiling them or anything like that. They have to have them.
So there's no books. It's all on the iPad or the laptop.
It's actually a mix in the new school, and it's a mix in the current school. So some of the homework is absolutely digital. There's no other way of doing it. And we're not, my husband can't hand over his work laptop. Not that you're handing over your phone, which things go wrong when you give your child your phone. So yeah, they need their own individual devices to do work for school. So secondary school will be the same. That even if it's not a requirement to buy all the books, they're going to need an electronic device. And I know there's some schools from parents I'm talking to are also saying they have to spend a minimum of €800 on a particular branded device on top of their voluntary contribution, on top of their mandatory contribution. So there's a lot of hidden stuff that's not understood.
So when you sort of do the calculations, Jill, and the tot up now, I presume the school holidays only commenced there in the last couple of weeks, you know, when 3 months off now, but sure, it's already at the top of your mind.
The first child is starting secondary school in September. That's €1,000 gone already. And I did buy the iPad separately for school. And I have one starting next year, one starting the year after. So that will come in at €3,000, unless they can pass down some uniforms for the voluntary contribution for the uniform and the photocopying fee.
So when you heard earlier this morning about the Catholic Primary School Management Association now warning about these dramatic rising costs that schools are facing, and the fact that there is likely to be, you know, perhaps some sort of an increase to the contribution, what was your reaction?
I can't understand how the state are not helping the schools. I actually feel sorry for the schools, because that's humongous stress, and they deserve to get funded better. Like, I kind of think the school lunches is a bit, there's probably different reactions on it, but it doesn't work for me. I have three children with autism. They don't eat the lunches and there's no deviation on the menu. So that's no good to parents like me. And my kids tell me that most kids put them in the bin. So, I mean, I just think the money is not spent in the correct format.
So your kids can't be accommodated in the school lunches at all?
Nope. I've already emailed the company and they're like, nope.
So you still have to send them in with three lunches?
Yes, I make three different lunches every day. So that'll continue through secondary. And it's just, I feel, I'd really rather see, like, maybe put the 5 or 10 euros on the child benefit, and it might actually, parents might actually decide to feed their kids more of their own options. And they need to widen the categories for different sensory needs for foods and give the school more funding.
Transition year cost me a fortune this year, says this listener. Also with all of the extra activities and the voluntary contribution, how is it voluntary when you have to pay for it? Another listener asks, in April, before my daughter started secondary school, we started to get constant emails about the €200 voluntary contribution. My husband actually rang the school and asked them to stop, seeing as she actually wouldn't be a student there for a further 6 months. Owen Daly is with us on the line today, Jill and Sarah. Owen is the principal of St. Malachy's Mixed National School based in Finglas in Dublin. What sort of financial pressure are the schools under, Owen, at the minute?
Hi, I'm actually in Mother Divine Grace. I used to be in St. Malachy's.
Oh, apologies, Owen, apologies.
No, it's okay. They're not too far away from one another. Well, the schools are under massive pressure financially. Like, you know, even talking about my own school, you know, €40,000 in light and heat. It goes to €25,000 in insurance, and that's before you've even really opened the doors. The government has obviously introduced a free book scheme for all children in the schools, which is fantastic. But a lot of the other grants that we're getting are reducing. So actually, net-wise, we're worse off than we were a few years ago, which is very difficult then for parents to understand why we're coming looking for money when they're saying, well, the books are paid for and the fees are paid for. I'm in a DESH school, so we obviously try and keep our fees as low as possible. Like, so for this year, for photocopying, it's €25 for the following year. Now, we are under severe financial pressure, but we're in a situation where we don't feel we can. We don't feel like we should have to like look to the parents to supplement, you know, basic things that the children should expect when they come to school. And parents are under huge financial pressures as it is. But, you know, some of this will go back to, obviously, DESH schools get more funding. But, you know, schools do have choices as well around certain things. Like, you know, we'd be very cognizant of trying to limit the financial implications on our parents as much as possible. And we're in a situation, unlike some other schools, where fundraising isn't as feasible as in other schools. Like, a lot of DESH schools would struggle to fundraise, whereas in other schools, maybe fundraising's a much more viable option. But, like, schools, like, we, all the schools in the Finglas area recently have written to the department to outline our dire financial conditions at the moment, and we've outlined different costs that have increased for us in schools. And like, we're trying to do everything. And like, in our school, for instance, we have a local supplier who does supply the school tracksuit at a very reasonable rate, but we do offer parents the opportunity, if they want, to buy a generic uniform and just sew our crest on. We offer that. We're trying to do as much as we can, but, you know, parents are, as you said at the start, some of our parents are already trying to calculate the cost for the following year. So I do think there is a major issue there. Like, even, again, in our school, we're on 5 acres of land. We're very lucky to have a huge, but the grant that we get for our caretaker is so low, we couldn't actually have the school safe unless we invested more money into our caretakers in the school as well.
The department say that they addressed all of this, didn't they, last week, that from September that the capitation grant was good, there was going to be an increase in that per student, that's what's supposed to cover the day to day run and all the things like you mentioned, the heat.
It won't like no, the increase that they're given will not cover we're seeing huge increases as we go along in all the costs that a school undertakes. And that's before, in our school, we talk about wanting to get some iPads or anything like that. We're not even in the situation of doing that, because we're trying to meet the basic needs first. And, you know, we do have the school lunches in our school. It is very successful in our school. We've, you know, taken some measures to try and reduce waste. I'm not saying it's without problems, but there is a massive investment going into the school lunch as well. I do think that has to be looked at. But, you know, we would see it as a positive impact in our school, and that we know that the children are getting a good, by and large, a hot meal every day, and it's very good for them socially as well.
Just to go back to the point, that Jill mentioned, because I was quite interested in that. I mean, I presume if a child has certain additional needs, that there can be some, you know, way found to cater for them, and that the menu isn't just rigid every day.
It's difficult because the companies are actually, they're tied by health and safety and different nutritional values that they're meant to stick for. Now, if any child with special education needs, sometimes whatever food they can get is the food they can get. You know, they might not be eating, you know, what we would deem as healthy foods every day. But, you know, now we're lucky that the children in our special classes, you know, by and large, are able to access the lunch in some format. But the menus can be quite rigid. Now, and that's not always the company's fault either. That's, like, for instance, even back when it was a cold lunch of sandwiches, they were saying that the children could only have ham sandwiches, I think it was one day a week. And some of the children in the school who wouldn't have had special, ham sandwich was the only sandwich they would eat. And we were saying that they couldn't have something because they were only allowed to have it once a week. Now, look, I'm all for promoting good nutritional values, but, you know, I would have eaten ham sandwiches a lot when I was younger.
Yeah, probably.
And, you know, there's far worse things we could be eating in this day and age.
Okay.
But sometimes it's not the company's problem, it's actually the sort of restrictions that they're being put under as well.
Anne is with us. Anne, you've 5 children, is that right?
Yeah, I have 5 children. I don't have any of them, thanks be to God, going to school anymore. Now my youngest is in his late 20s.
Right, but, okay.
I was a single parent when my eldest went to secondary. Now, that was back in the early 90s. And I can remember being a lone parent. You got back to school, and I think you went over to the school and they gave you a certain amount of money to go to a particular bookshop to get school books. But it was never like the full amount or that. But I think at that time I had to pay £75, as it was then, for going for the year. But the following year, when our sister went, it had gone up to 120. And because I had 2 of them, I wouldn't have had to pay the 240, but they were willing to take 180. And I remember going over and going, look, I'm on no burden, or deserved the wife it was then. I can't pay that. I just haven't got that. And they very happily said, oh, well, you can pay it in installments. There was no, yes, you needn't pay that. And I was kind of saying, but it's voluntary, like, you know. But I don't know why they say voluntary, because there was no way they were going to say to me, yeah, you can just pay 50 and that'll be fine. It was taken out. I had to give them, and I didn't actually have a bank account as such, like you do direct debiting now, but I had to sign a direct debiting to pay a certain amount over 10 months. And I had to make sure that was kind of down in the bank for them. I can't remember where it was. But there was no kind of, oh, very sorry to hear that. And there was quite a lot of us in the same boat, you know.
Now, well, there's nothing voluntary about it.
Yeah, I have to say in primary now I didn't have that problem, and I was on several committees now at the primary, but we raised an awful lot of money for the schools now. Really, really did. Like, and we used to have a non-stop draw every month where it was like the lotto thing, do you know what I mean, with the numbers. I mean, loads of people do it now, and every family in the school bought at least one ticket. Then grandparents bought another. And we used to make about 250, 300 a month on that, which was a great amount.
Yeah, a great way to try
then.
And it was interesting to hear Owen say that not necessarily every school is really in a position or able to do a huge level of fundraising. A couple of texts I want to bring you on this. Listener says, every August this conversation comes up, and every August my blood boils. I'm 45, a 45-year-old teacher. I've decided not to have kids, in part due to financial reasons, and it stuns me every year that parents seem surprised that there'll be extra costs going back to school. As I say, I don't have children, but feel parents want everything for free when it comes to education. Did they not know when they decided to have kids that they were going to have to pay for their children? Whose responsibility are these children? Asks this listener. Paddy has got in touch. Paddy tells me he's 4 children aged from 8 to 16. I have never once paid the voluntary contribution. I've always refused. I actually took out a dictionary out to the school vice principal one time when I was called in about it, and I made him read out the definition of voluntary. I also pointed out that there'd be hell to pay if my kids were singled out because of me not paying it, according to Paddy. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. How much is the so-called voluntary contribution in your school? That's Anne, Sarah, Owen, Jill. Thanks a million for sharing your stories. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.